woman as you like to do. Mr. 12-12 Pop Talk Saturday Congregation, Alabama, here in New York, Texas. Today is May 18, 2017, or this is May 22, 2021. We're going to start our first service today, the song entitled Stand Up for Yahshua.
Stand up for Yahshua, ye soldiers of the cross. His wide royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he be. Yahshua is King indeed. Stand up for Yahshua, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict and this is glorious day. He that amendeth certain against a number your courage rise with danger, and strength to strength uphold. Stand up for Yahshua, and in his strength alone. This day and yours a battle, the next in victory song. On the gospel harmon, his peace put on the prayer. For duty calls our danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Yahshua, the strife will not be long. The next victory song. To him they overcome, the crown of love shall be. He with the King of glory shall live eternally.
Gentiles, part 32. We're in Revelation chapter 7. Let's start with verse 1. Yahweh's servant's seal. After these things I saw four angels stand on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh, and he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, unto whom it is given to hurt the earth and the sea. Now watch this. The earth represents the United States in prophecy, and the sea represents the old world across the ocean. Now the 144,000... these are the servants that are to be sealed. We're fixing to read about the 12 tribes that are to be sealed in this prophecy. They are gathered into the Adventist church here in the wilderness of the people in the United States. Revelation 17 says it's the wilderness of the people. And I think Revelation 11 also confirms that. The United States in prophecy is in the wilderness of the people. This is where the Adventist Church was born. Ellen G. White being the prophetess for the Adventist Church in 1844. And with their headquarters here in the United States. Now notice their headquarters was not in Washington, D.C., because Washington, D.C. is not a part of the United States. Washington, D.C. is the Second Vatican, District of Columbia. Okay. So now, this is what we're talking about. That's reading why the capital of the Adventist Church was raised up, I believe, in Michigan, or was it? It might start out in Maine. I have to check my information on that. But anyway, we're in the process of checking that information out. So now, the 144,000 then was first revealed under Ellen G. White. And it was revealed that the 144,000 comes are contained in the Adventist Church. And then all the succeeding prophets from Ellen G. White, V.T. Holler, he picked up, he's the second prophet for the Adventist Church that picked up the theme of the 144,000. And he wrote a lot on it. And then Brothers Johnson, that succeeded the Shepherd Rod, V.T. Hollis, in 1970, he had the voice speak to him and tell him that the 144,000 was consigned unto this organization, Gilead Center. And that was this is our final work to do for the Adventist Church to bring forth this 144,000. So, the 144,000 then is found in the Adventist Church in the United States, and this is where they are brought forth. But they haven't always, the 144,000 don't have their origin completely here in the United States, as far as each individual of the 144,000, because we have a prophecy there in Ezekiel that Ezekiel, I believe, 33, let's see, in Ezekiel 20, it says, starting with verse 30, where Yahweh will bring out Israel. It says, verse 30 says, wherefore say unto the house of Israel. Now, he's speaking to the Seventh-day Adventist Church here in this prophecy of Ezekiel 20. Thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers? He's asking the Adventist Church, are ye polluted? And commit ye whoredoms after their abomination? And the answer is yes. And that's what brought them to their end, was their whoredoms. In 2002, that was the final end of the Adventist Church in the Judgment of the Dead period, bringing to a close the 11th parabolic hour, okay, and closing out six seals. The seventh seal belongs to the 12th hour and belongs to the last group of servants, those that are found in Matthew 20, verse 6, as the fifth group of laborers to work in the vineyard in the 12th parabolic hour, and that's the house of David. And that's who we are. And so now we have that work. And so we have also the seventh seal, and we're also announced the judgment of the living in the 12th parabolic hour, and so forth. In 2002, it's turned to Texas. For 1 year, from Passover to Passover 2003, we completed that work of that transition from the old economy, believe it or not, the Desire of Ages, page chapter 72, about page 652, the transition between the two economies. We had that took place with Yahshua at the cross. We had it to take place again in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. The transition of the two economies. Okay, the old economy came to its end at the cross. The new economy began, the old economy came to an end in Yahshua's day at the Last Supper when he purged out Judas Iscariot and purified the 11 disciples. He had to do that to close out the old economy, showing that the old economy was sinful and had to be rejected. there at the cross. And you read that rejection with the prophecy of Hosea, chapter 1, 2, and 3. Okay? And it says, for when you offer your, it's in this Ezekiel 20, verse 31, for when you offer your gift, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day, and shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Yahweh Elohim, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that you say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. When they formed the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists in 1863, and they said then, we want to be like the churches around us. We want to have a government. We want to have a church manual. We want to have a president. We don't want a prophet, we want a president. Like all the churches around us have. Now here it is right here, Ezekiel 20 verse 32. That lines right up with that. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that you say, we will be as a heathen, as the founders of the countries, to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith the Yahweh Elohim, verse 33, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. What did Yahweh tell Samuel? Samuel, they have rejected you. They've rejected me from ruling over them. Said Samuel was crying to Yahweh. Says the people want a king. They want a king like everybody around that was king. And Yahweh says, well, give them their king. And we'll let them have their king. And so Yahweh chose King Saul out of the tribe of Benjamin and gave them their king. And he had a 40-year reign over them, and he totally took them into slavery. All the house of Israel went into slavery under King Saul. Yahweh brought King Saul to an end by his death in the battle with the Philistines, and he delivered the remnant of Israel into the camp of King David, his chosen, Yahweh's chosen. Okay. So he says, I'm going to rule over you, but I'm not going to rule over you with King Saul because he won't obey my commandments. But I will rule over you with King David. That's going to succeed him. And that's what we have today. Verlos Johnson represents the house of King Saul. And he came to his end in 2003, and I took the reins and finished out the 40-year period for Gilead Center, the same that King Saul had, a 40-year period for his reign. So now here Yahweh is saying through Ezekiel, take this prophecy to the Adventist Church in the last day and tell them all these things. Verse 34, Ezekiel 20. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered. And with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I plead with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Yahweh Elohim. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, Mount Carmel, Viti Horeb. I will cause you Adventists to pass under the rod for 40 years. You won't like it, but I'm going to cause you to do that. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. So you're going to pass under the rod for 40 years, and you're going to pass into the bond of the covenant for the next 40 years. So there's an 80-year period here for the house of Israel, the Adventist Church, to pass under the rod and into the bond of the covenant. That period ended in 2002, ending an 80-year period. So that's how long this prophecy stood up in Ezekiel 20, verse 36 and 37. And that's how long this prophecy lasted. 80 years, 80 long years. Because those that come into the bond of covenant is a remnant, the 144,000, under the house of David. With the counsel and direction of the house of David, representing the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, this is where the 144,000 comes into the bond of covenant, and they learn to sing that new song of Moses and the Lamb, which you'll find in Revelation 14 and Revelation 15, 1-3. They learn, as it were, a new song. It's not a new song, but they learn it. They learn it in a new and living way through the blood of the everlasting covenant. They just all the change of the song, all this change of the song of Moses that was first written there in Deuteronomy 31:19 on to that chapter. The only thing that ever changed was the blood. So that's the reason they sung it as it were a new song, only with the blood of Yahshua this time. In the old covenant, they sung it with the blood of the Lamb. I mean, of the literal Lamb, the physical Lamb, that typified and represented Yahshua's blood. So that was the difference in the song. They sung as it were a new song. Okay. Verse 38, "And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, go ye serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name," that's Yahweh Elohim and Yahshua the Messiah, "no more with your gifts and with your idols," no more, "with your false worship." Idolatry is just false worship. It's just falsehood, that's all it is. That's what idolatry is summed up as. Okay, now I got a point I want to back up and make here. It says, "Now I will purge out," verse 38, "from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me, and the wilderness of the people in the United States, out of the Adventist church." This is where they're at. He's saying, "And I will purge out from among you, Seventh-day Adventists, the rebels, and them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. They shall not enter into the land of Israel." So he's going to bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. And so these rebels that are cut off, these terrorists that are cut off in the Adventist church during the judgment of the living, this is when this takes place, they're not going to enter into the land of Israel. So it shows right here, this prophecy takes place here in the wilderness of the people and in the earth. So now, with that in mind, let us go back to Revelation chapter 7 and pick up where we left off. Okay, Revelation 7, we're going to pick up, let's start with verse 1 again. "After these things, I saw four angels stand on the four corners of the earth in the United States, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind, this is the wind of destruction, should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea." Okay, not on the sea, it means in the old country, "nor on any tree," meaning any minister, not on any minister in the Adventist church. I mean, I'm talking about the true ministry that has emerged and come forth. Okay, now this tree is a symbol of a preacher. Now, the 144,000 are prophet, priests, and kings. There are 144,000 ministers. And they're represented by the tree. Now, keep this in mind. So when it says that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, this is the wind of destruction, nor on any tree, any righteous minister, which would be among the 144,000. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. Oh, another angel, which is Yahshua. Because when Yahshua came to start his ministry here, in the judgment of the living, in the 12th parabolic hour, he came to Jerusalem. And he made his headquarters there. And so when it came time for the seal of 144,000, then he ascended. He was already here. Otherwise, it'd say he saw another angel descending from the heaven. But no, he said, I saw another angel, which is Yahshua, the Son, ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh, of the Father. And he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. There you are. Okay. He says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their foreheads. Now, what does he mean, until we? We is a personal pronoun for more than one person. It means two or more. So the four angels that was given, says, saying, hurt not the earth, he said to the four angels, hurt not the earth, nor the trees, nor any ministers, till we have sealed the servants of Yahweh in their forehead. Now I'm going to back up on this tree again. I said earlier that the tree represents ministry. 144,000 are in 144,000 individual ministers. But now, these ministers are commingled. The 144,000 is commingled with the ministers of the Adventist Church. So because the command was in verse 3 saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, nor the ministers, nor any of the ministry in the Adventist Church, until we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh and their foreheads. So, don't hurt nor another ministry at all until Ezekiel 9 goes through the city and separates the wheat from the tares. And then when that is done and they are marked and sealed, Ezekiel 9 goes with Revelation 7. Okay. And so we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Well, there's more than 144,000 ministers in the Adventist Church today. I can tell you that right now. Since the Adventist Church has upward of between 15 and 20 million population around the world that are members of the Adventist Church, you know they have more than 144,000 ministers. They probably have at least a million or more to serve those 20 million people around the world. Not only that, but they're reaching out to the Gentiles. The Adventist ministry is reaching out to them all over the world. You have to have a lot of ministers because their aim is that they've got to convert the world, or they've got to take their version of the gospel to the whole world. And that's what they believe. But this Yahshua is telling these four angels that is given to hurt, to not hurt the earth, neither the sea, nor the tree. Now, when you go read Beat the Harlot for the Shepherd's Rod on these four angels that's given to hurt, he said these angels, then once the 144,000 are sealed, these four angels given to hurt, said they are to hurt those wicked men that have planned to hurt Yahweh's people. And that would be our government. That would be the wicked leaders of our government. And that was their number one plan, is not only to destroy everybody in the world, but especially the remnant. So, here we have it in verse 5, Revelation 7. Revelation 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000. Okay. Verse 5, of the tribe of Judah, this is the first tribe sealed, was sealed 12,000. And now let's go read now Genesis 49:10. And let's read something there. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until a Shiloh come, and unto him shall again the people be. Now this is the coming of Shiloh here in Revelation chapter 7, when Yahshua, the angel from the east, came with the seal. The seal of the 144,000, he sealed the tribe of Judah first, the lawgiver, and which Yahshua is a descendant of David of the tribe of Judah. So, and as in the scripture says, Yahshua is the lawgiver. So here you have it. Of the tribe of Judah, Yahshua, he sealed his tribe first, the one that he was a member of. Descendant of David, he sealed the Judah first as a lawgiver. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Now I believe Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob. And according to the seniority, Reuben should have been the first one that was sealed. But he wasn't because of his sin. Jacob gave that blessing to Judah before he died in Genesis 49. Alright, now, it says, of the tribe of Asher, verse 6 of Revelation 7, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, were sealed 12,000. So we have Yahshua coming from the east, sealing the 12 tribes of Israel, and there was one tribe missing of this sealing, of the original 12, and that was the tribe of Dan. When Jacob upon his deathbed, giving a blessing to his 12 sons, he pronounced a curse or a woe upon Reuben, and I believe upon Dan, those two sons. And he pronounced a blessing upon Joseph's two sons as born to an Egyptian woman down in Egypt, and he adopted them into the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. Now, Joseph had two sons named Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh was a second born, Ephraim was the first born. But Ephraim, even though he was adopted into the 12 tribes, he didn't become the head of a tribe. He remained under the tribe of Joseph, his father. But Manasseh took the place of Dan. It talks about Manasseh being sealed here in verse 6 of Revelation 7. Of the tribe of Manasseh was sealed 12,000. That should have been the tribe of Dan. But because of Dan's sin, he was not reckoned with the 12 tribes. It was given to Manasseh. Okay, now, It says in Revelation 7, start with verse 9, you're going to see the gathering now of the great multitude. So a great robed multitude. Verse 9, after this I beheld, after 144,000, 12 tribes were sealed. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation unto our Yahweh, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped Yahweh, saying, Hallelujah, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our King, Yahshua, forever and ever. Hallelujah. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are red and white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Okay. Therefore are they before the throne of Yahweh, and serve him day and night in his temple. Okay, so they serve him day and night, 24 hours a day. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Now this is actually Yahshua sitting on the throne. So I'm going to back up and read that again. Verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of the Yahshua, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Why is that Yahshua is the one that now is sitting upon his throne? Because in verse 14 it says that he had made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So why wouldn't they worship before his throne day and night? What does it mean day and night? It means that they're busy bringing their Gentile brethren from all over the world 24 hours a day. Because when it's 12 hours night here in this part of the world, it's 12 hours daylight in the other part of the world. And that's where most of your multitudes are at. They're going to be at 144,000 together. It's on the other side of the world. But they're going to be headquartered here in the United States. Okay. Revelation 7, verse 16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them. Nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains, unto living fountains of the waters, and Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eye. Okay, end of Revelation chapter 7. So, Revelation chapter 7 dealt with the house of Israel, the 144,000, being set up as prophets, priests, and kings to be judges first over their own brethren, and then also to be judges sitting upon the throne for all the Gentiles that are at hand to come from all over the world. Well, I say they are now. And according to Isaiah 66, the prophecy that correlates with this prophecy I just read to you, it talks about, let's go read it. Let's go read Isaiah 66. And let's read about verse about 16. It says, for by the fire, now let's read verse 15. For behold, the Yahshua will come with the fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with the flames of fire. Now, in Revelation 19:10, it talks about this coming to make war. It says, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yeshua. Worship Yahweh, for the testimony of Yeshua is in the spirit of the prophecy. And then in verse 11 of Revelation 19, it says, Yeshua returns victorious. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. You can go read John chapter 1 on that to confirm that statement. And verse 14 of Revelation 19. And the armies which were in the heaven followed him upon wild horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty Yahweh. There's your Almighty Yahweh. Yahshua recognizes his Father as the Almighty. He is the Mighty. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of King and Sovereign of Sovereign. Okay. So now here he's coming to make war. So as you go back to Isaiah 66, when the 144 that escaped of Israel, the first judgment of Ezekiel 9, those that came through Ezekiel 9, they were sent into the nation. There in Isaiah 66 prophecy, verse 15, for behold, Yahshua will come with the fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with the flames of fire. And we've just read about that coming in Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Okay, now let's go ahead and read Isaiah 66. He says, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, okay, those unsanctified ministers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens in all the different churches around the world, the Adventist churches, behind one tree, behind the General Conference President of the Seventh-day Adventist, preaching and teaching only what he will allow for all the ministry of the Adventist Church. And the mist-eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith the Yahweh. For I know their works and their thoughts, it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nation, to Tarshish, Pul, and these nations are your Gentile nations, that draw the bow, in other words, those that go to battle, to Tubal and Avan, unto the isles afar off, that have had not heard my fame. They've heard of his name before, but they have not heard of his fame, of him coming to execute righteousness in the earth. Now they have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Here you have it right here. And they shall bring all your brethren, all your Gentile brethren, for an offering unto the Yeshua out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of Yahweh. Now here's the key right here among the Gentiles. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites. does not keep track of the 144,000 for priests and Levites, for the Adventists, for the house of Israel. Now he's going to take leaders from among the Gentiles. He's going to also take of them for priests and for Levites, said the other. Okay. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the other, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahshua. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men that have transgressed against me. Okay. So, all these that have been harvested of the house of Israel, the 144,000, and of the Gentile nations from all over the world, then they're going to go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against Yahweh and His Son, and broken the Sabbath, and served and taught idolatry. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence unto all flesh. Okay, so that's the end of that. Isaiah 66, we brought that in. And let's go back to Revelation chapter 8 now. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before the Yahweh, and unto them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Okay. Let's review those three verses again. And when he had opened the seventh seal, who opened the seventh seal? Yahshua, the Messiah. Said he was the only one, and Revelation 5 said he's the only one worthy, the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. He's the only one worthy to open up this book of the seven seals and look therein. So it says in verse 8, in chapter 8, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. So that silence in heaven mathematically equates to 7 days. 1 week. And a day for a year is equal to 4, 6, a day for a year, so you have a 7-year period. That this half hour silence takes, okay, about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before the Yahweh, and unto them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. So now this is the judgment of the living. When the seventh seal is open, it opened in 2002 at the Passover, Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center. That began the judgment of the living and the seventh seal. But it took a whole year to bring final judgment to Gilead Center after that seventh seal was open. From Passover to Passover, Brother Jonathan had a second chance. He turned down the first chance at the Passover 2003, exactly 1 year after Passover 2002. He turned down an opportunity there to save his congregation. It wasn't my congregation anymore, it was his congregation. And then Yahweh held us over a whole month after that, after Brother Johnson rejected that. He held us over until April the 25th. Of 2003, at the very day, I believe, that the second Passover began. And the second Passover, you know, is for those that was unclean in the first Passover that couldn't take it because of uncleanness for one reason or another or something, and it's for the world. It's not for the house of Israel totally. It's for the house of Israel, those that couldn't take it first, and it's also for the Gentiles, the second Passover. You can go read that there in Exodus, dealing with Noah and the flood. Okay. Now it says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, and I saw the seven angels which stood before Yahweh, and unto them were given seven trumpets. Okay, and now I said, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And now I got a track here in front of me called The Final Warning by V.T. Oliver's, track number 5, I believe. And it deals with the seven trumpets. And so now that we're in Revelation chapter 8, we can tie in the information now here and this here seven trumpets that V.T. Hallett has written on. And it's very concise and complete. Very good. It's very good additional information to the scriptures here. But anyway, it says, talking about these seven angels. Okay, and another angel came out and stood at the altar having a golden censer. Now, what does that golden censer represent? Well, it goes on and tells, and there was given unto him much incense. Okay, now, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, those three wise men that came to worship Yahshua at his birth, what did they bring with them as gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay. So what does that represent? That represents the high priest, stuff that he has to have. He has to have the gold for finances. And those essential oils back then, which also as good as gold for trading, for bartering with, all right, and for using as worship in the temple, and so we know the high priest always used incense from off the altar, especially on the Day of Atonement, to go before Yahweh to offer up the prayers of all saints that have gotten their sins blotted out during the year. They had their sins all blotted out and taken care of, and so the high priest would go with the incense from off the altar. Okay. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before Yahweh out of the angel's hand. So we got the judgment of the living here taking place. This all made its fulfillment starting in 2002 at Kermit at the Passover. This is the judgment of the living transferring the judgment of the dead. That's reading how the Gilead sin and the leadership and everybody that stayed with the leadership down there was cut off. And they are no more today because they're the first ones that fell under the stroke of the judgment of the living. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before Yahweh out of the angel's hand. But who is this angel? This is Yahshua. He's the high priest. This angel is the high priest. Yahshua. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And this scene also is taking place on the Day of Atonement. And only the high priest can do this ministry on the Day of Atonement in the most holy place. Your regular priest can minister in the first apartment during the year, but the high priest alone is the only one that has the authority to go into the most holy place on the Day of Atonement. So that's what you're dealing with here. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. All right, the first four trumpets, starting with verse 6. Remember now, I read to you earlier about, in verse 2, about And I saw the seven angels which stood before Yahweh, and unto them were given seven trumpets. So now we're going to read about those first four trumpets, starting in verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the grass was burnt up. Okay. Now, let me go read to you what Vitihala says about that first angel sounded, but that first trumpet. It says, and the seven angels, actually Vitihala just quotes Revelation 8, 6 through 13, and then when he gets through quoting 6 through 13, I guess he gives a description then of the first angel and the first trumpet. Let's go ahead and read this straight from the Bible, and then we'll read Vitihala's account of it after we get through reading the Bible. Alright, it says, and the second angel, verse 8, sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so also the third part of the moon was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So that brings us to the end of chapter 8 and verse 13. And then the chapter 9 takes up the fifth and the sixth trumpets, dealing with that. And the fifth and sixth trumpet, as the chapter 9 of Revelation, start with verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and unto him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, not any minister, or any green thing, meaning any laity, any just regular member of the congregation. But only those men which have not the seal of Yahweh in their foreheads. Only hurt those. So now you can go to Ezekiel 9 again and pick up this here correlation between Ezekiel 9 and Revelation 9, verse 4. Verse 5, and unto them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, and when he struck at a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, prepared unto the battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of the iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of the chariot of the many horses running to a battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One more is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar, golden altar, which is before Yahweh, saying unto the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. I said, now what is this here hour? The hour of his judgment has come, Revelation 14, 6. And a day, okay, a day for a year, Ezekiel 4, 6. And a month, okay, that's the former and the latter rain falls together in the first month to start the judgment of the living. 2002. And a year, that's the year of his redeem, Isaiah 61, I believe. Or 60, whatever it is. For to slay the third part of man. And that year of his redeem is struck in 2002. So you see where we're at in the stream of time. And the number. In verse 16 of Revelation 9, and the number of the army of the horsemen was 200,000, and I heard the number of them, okay, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Now these horses were 200,000 means 200 million, and they were the leaders that had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. These are ministers that are filled with the Holy Spirit, represented by these horses. And John says, I saw it in a vision. And them that sat on them, and those that sat on them was 200 million angels from heaven that come and joined these horses. And they took their seat in the saddle on these horses. In other words, they were the leaders of these, they were the heavenly leaders that come to assist these 200 million here on earth local leaders that was to take this message all over the world. Having breastplates of fire and of jasper and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of the men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. This ends Revelation chapter 9. This also brings the end of our study for this hour. And you can contact us at the 11th hour call. If number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Revive us again. The Son of the Lord, for Yeshua, who died and is now on above. Hallelujah, God of glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, God of glory. We find us again. We praise thee, O Yah, for the Spirit of life. You have shown us our Savior and spared our life. Hallelujah, God of glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, God of glory. Be for us again. Oh, glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah, God of glory. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God of glory. We love us again. We love us again. His heart with the Lord. His soul to be kindled of heaven above. Hallelujah, God of glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, God of glory. Be with us again.